This is Tom Browning.
This is Pat Lackey.
This is Raquel Aurelia.
My name is Kurt Evans.
This is Rich Aurelia.
Hi, hello, and welcome, everybody. This is George Grant of the Cincinnati Reds, and welcome. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast for this Monday, January 29th of 2007. I'm your host, Amanda, and with me, as always, is the crack technical staff, John. Welcome to the show, Johnny.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Pleasure to have you here, as always. You know, in the house.
In where, his house.
Where we live. So, as promised, we've got some content this week.
Content?
I'm so excited. Actually, you know, what I usually do every week when I go to outline what we're going to talk about on the podcast is that I look at all of the entries since the last podcast. And this time I think there were like three of them. And
slacker.
Maybe four, but one of them was me talking about how I haven't posted in a long time. Ugh. I know. You know,
that is so lame. Next thing, just as long as you don't make up for it by like just linking to a bunch of other posts.
Hey, watch it, buddy. But there was one big thing that happened. Well, there's been a couple big things that have happened since our last podcast.
Content.
There was an actual deal. The Reds traded for one Kirk Sarlos, pitcher from Oakland, who's going to be in competition for the fifth spot in the rotation. And
I like it.
You do?
I do. I put up a little poll on the main.
That's right. In case any of you didn't know out there, the crack technical staff has taken sole ownership of the polls. I have very little to do with the writing of the questions.
Yes. So if they suck, it's not her fault.
Actually, if they're the only good thing on the site, which is far more likely, you can tell who actually comes up with all of the good ideas.
Why, thank you, but I don't think that's entirely true.
Not entirely, just mostly.
But I put up a poll asking what people thought about the trade.
Yeah, what do people think?
I don't know.
They like it?
Yeah,
Not very many people have voted in this one yet.
No, I don't know.
Maybe that has something to do with the fact that I've only put up four posts this week.
You're not bringing enough I'm not to the site, woman.
It's not the draw that it once was. Maybe I should put up some naked pictures or something.
Of whom? Yeah. Kirk Sarlos? What does he look like?
I don't know.
I don't know that I've seen a picture of him.
I don't think I have either. You're going to look one up? You're going to look one up, aren't you?
I think I will.
That typing you hear in the background is the crack technical staff looking up a Google image search on Kirk Sarlos. That's a great picture with the chick with her tongue out. We may
awesome.
Have to put that up with
we
the podcast might. Entry right there.
We just might.
Yeah. Very nice. Nice tongue. He looks kind of like Castro.
He's a rounder face than I'm used to the Reds having.
That's true, but you know, O'Brien's not in charge anymore. Dan O'Brien had a penchant. He had a penchant.
For the long-faced fellows. So what do you think of the trade? I think it's pretty good.
I don't see any harm in it. I think that it's pretty exciting to think that the Reds are in a position where they're bringing in people to compete for their fifth spot.
I know. For their fifth spot.
Because
not their first.
Yeah, because that means that they've got the other ones, you know, sort of taken care of. I mean, you're looking at a team that, 2 years ago would have brought this guy out to be competing for their third spot.
Yeah. And expecting him to, because he's young, to expect great things from him. They would just want him to be a fifth starter.
So, we'll go see what happens in spring training. I know that you've got the man love for him because he's from the A's.
Yep.
And that's all right. You know, you can have a rational man love for Sarlos if you want.
I wouldn't call it man love. I just think it's probably a worthy acquisition. There are a bunch of people who, on the former Mark Lancaster's blog, who seemed to be thinking that the minor leaguer the Reds traded was going to be this future amazing closer just because he was a closer on the Double-A team.
On the Double-A team, huh? Because
yeah.
The people who are closers on Double-A teams are renowned for their closing talent
Absolutely.
In the majors. I mean, everyone knows about that.
The guy didn't even isn't in the Reds' top 10 best prospects list. So it's not like they're giving up much, and they're getting back a guy who's, for the last 2, maybe 3 years, been an average major league starting pitcher. Hmm. He's going to be coming to the National League, which Bronson Arroyo and Kyle Loesch have both shown, at least for the Reds, has improved their pitching ability.
Maybe that's it.
So
maybe they're just inspired. Maybe there's something in the water in Cincinnati.
For once.
But if, you know, whatever the case is, you got some guys coming from the AL and doing well.
They've also, in that fifth spot, they've also picked up a guy who used to be on the Pirates. They did this a few months ago, Victor Santos. He'll be in the running for the fifth spot.
Well,
and that's the main two outside of the organization. Mm-hmm. And then other than that, they'll have, like, Belial and Ramirez.
Oh, but I'd like to see Ramirez do well. I like Ramirez.
He's still young. I mean, he's like, what, 23, 24?
And about 58 pounds, I think.
Maybe he should put on a little bit of weight. We don't want another Ramon Ortiz running around.
Speaking of weight, we saw the Reds caravan this Saturday. Todd Coffey was in attendance. He was looking very, very slim, very in shape. I think even from down from Reds caravan, Reds Fest.
Reds
when,
Fest.
When he was,
I didn't really... Oh, yeah, yeah. He might have been. Well, he's going to be showing up to spring training, like, Friday.
That's right. I heard that. Yeah, he's going down there to start getting himself conditioned.
I think he lives in Ohio, so it's like, ooh, hard choice.
Well, there's
Ohio
a lot of,
in January, February, or Florida.
A lot of fun stuff going on in the Midwest right around now. As we know firsthand, there's a whole lot of... nothing.
Yeah.
A whole lot of wondering if the snow's
Reds caravan.
There was the Reds caravan.
Which sucked.
Kind of sucked. You know, I didn't have extremely high hopes for the event to begin with, so I don't think I was as disappointed in it as you were, but you know, looking at it objectively, it kind of sucked. For one thing, they go and have it at the Damon's, which is not exactly...
Not a big place.
A location that's going to house a lot. Now, Damon's used to be miserable to go to before Delaware County and Indiana went smoke-free.
Yeah, because they had the worst air filtration
system. Oh, it was
system. Just
awful. It was like...
I don't even know if they had one.
It was like they didn't even have, like, vents. They didn't have any circulation at all.
It's like your worst dive bar.
Oh,
like,
it was.
Whoa!
It was. You can see the televisions for all the smoke that was hanging in the air. It was just like, I don't even know how many times you think, like, this would be great. We'll go and get some ribs. We'll go to Damon's. And the Damon's in West Lafayette that we used to go to in college was great.
Yeah.
Loved it there. But the one in Muncie was just miserable. They've gone smoke-free since then, which I imagine has probably really pissed off a lot of people, considering the number of people who apparently went there and smoked. But not their fault. The entire county went smoke-free, so there really wasn't anything we could do about it. But... In any event, even without the smoke, it was still kind of miserable in there because it was just so very tiny. And, you know, they've got this banquet room, which we've actually used for a banquet before, and so we thought we knew what was going on here.
Yeah, I expected that room to have, like, all the tables cleared out.
Oh, sure.
And for chairs to be brought in.
Yes.
Fold up chairs to be brought in, set them up in aisles.
Selling
beers
on the side.
Set up a makeshift podium.
You know, maybe some people selling beer over on the side. You know, you could go into the other room.
Fans
and get
sit
some.
In there. I think that could seat like 100, 150 pretty
I
easily.
I think so, sure. And if they had done that, then that's probably about how many people should. I think there was over 200.
It might have been over 200. But yeah, it was right around
closer.
There. It would have been crowded still, but it wouldn't have been unbearable and just terrible.
But what they did instead of that was they take the clubhouse section of it, they set the guys up down at the bottom of it, like underneath the televisions.
Right.
And we got there at what, like 2:45, 2:50, something like that. And they said there hadn't been a table in the clubhouse area since 11:30 a.m. I don't even know what time Damon's opens on Saturday. I can't imagine it's before 11.
The Reds event wasn't starting till 3:30.
Exactly.
So the last table...
Exactly.
Got snapped up 4 hours before it showed up.
I know, and so were those
if
people
you look
like
at that
eating constantly?
The area where the bulk of their tables are, there aren't that many, maybe 16, 20 tables.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty tiny, and then they took up a bunch of the space with where the
right.
players were going to be sitting. And then, so we get in there, and...
So what, 50 people seated there at most?
It was probably more like 70, but you know, like still not remotely enough. So we get there and they're like, well, we got like two tables left in the dining room if you want to have something to eat. So we decide we're going to go and have something to eat because there's a line forming that people have already been standing there for who knows how long. And so
we're still 40, 50 minutes away from
like,
starting.
Well, if we're just going to be standing in
and
line
anyway. And
you know
it's going to be late anyway.
Yeah. We might as well just sit down and have some nachos and then get up and get in line. And actually that is what we turned out to do. And that part was okay, except for there was two things, I think, that were the major problems with this setup. And one of them was Damon's fault. Maybe both of them were Damon's fault.
That's hard to say.
But really, both parties, the Reds and Damon's, should have known better. One of them was that they did not pipe the sound from the interviews that were going on into the dining room. So the only way you could actually hear the people talking was if you were physically close enough to them to hear them. Now, it was an episode of the Red's Hot Stove League that they were just taping at Damon's and Muncie, which that by itself is totally lame.
Yeah, that was what upset me the most. It wasn't an event for fans so much as it was, and I don't think this was the Red's fault. I think this was the radio station.
That could be.
It was just, they were just like doing their own little local Red's Hot Stove League, and
yeah, it was like
just happened to have some fans there.
It was like, yeah, you have the honor of sitting in on our taping of this program.
Yeah, and like even when they went to commercial break, everything stopped in the restaurant. It wasn't like, okay, now you can go sign autographs or talk to the players. No, it was just, okay, we're taking a break.
And it was nothing. So annoying, because once you did get close enough, like once we got up to the autograph line at the end, once you were close enough, they did have speakers there that were freaking blasting the people in line. So while we were, the majority of the time, and we've got some audio that we'll be playing here a little bit later, and you'll be able to tell, you can't hear Jack.
That's how
it was for us.
It was for the vast majority of the time.
We couldn't hear anything. But once we were up there, we couldn't hear the players we were talking to, because right. We were being blasted by the speaker of just some guy nattering on about, like, oh, how his favorite view was from the right field. And
yeah, like, for his money, you couldn't have any better seats than in the right field.
It was just like, blah, blah, blah. I am trying to talk to Tom Browning here. Could you shut up? Anyway,
like a personal connection.
So that was the thing, that they didn't pipe the sound in, and it would have been so freaking easy, dude. Just turn on the radio station that they were broadcasting it on. So that's one thing. The other thing was, you know, they had people, like, in line. They had people in line. They had the line such, like, they didn't have any plan for where this line was going to go, so it ends up going right by the front door. So anyone who's walking in the street, like, walking in from the street, which they were, and they were coming in, like, so many of them, that they couldn't close the front doors, so it was freezing cold in there. But as they're coming in, they're cutting in halfway in line. So there's, like, people behind us in line who have been there since 2 o'clock, and there's people just walking in off the street, ending up in front of them in line, not really because they're cutting, because they don't know any better. You know, they're walking in, there's a line.
There's a mass of people. They what are you going to, you can't go either direction, so.
Oh, it was so crowded, you couldn't go either direction. It was like, it was totally a fire hazard, and the people kept trying to tell us, move back into the dining room, we can't, this is a fire hazard. Like, well, you don't have the sound on in there, I'm not going to be able to hear anything. Number two, I can't move. The people behind me can't even hear you talking to them. How do they know to move? It was a mess. It was a mess.
Yeah.
And yeah, so should we do our clips of what we could hear, you think?
Like, sure.
After we had our nachos, we stepped out into the lobby area in between the clubhouse and the dining room area, and and just to try to catch as much as we could. Times we could occasionally catch bits and pieces of
There's
conversation.
Not much.
The Eye River did not pick up very much of it at all, but this is what we got.
Welcome to the 2007 Cincinnati Reds Caravan, making its stop here in Muncie, Indiana this afternoon. We want to make sure that when the Cincinnati Reds bus pulls out of this parking lot this evening, they know that Reds baseball is alive and well in the city of Muncie. Let's get it started. Here he is. Welcome to Muncie, Tom Brandon.
The best crowd we've had. So thank you very much. First of all, you know about the ownership change in Cincinnati, and I think it's safe to say, and I'm going to see a lot of heads going like this, because even when I was in Arizona,
oh my gosh, it's cold here. The doors are propped open.
For the first time with Cincinnati Reds baseball, there's a lot of hope for this franchise again. There have been some lean years, been some down years, and all that's getting turned around, and I think it's primarily thanks to the new ownership that took over the Cincinnati Reds, led by Bob Castellini and his son, who is the Senior Vice President of Business Operations. Please, a warm welcome to Mr. Phil Castellini.
Thank you.
all of you for being here. Our mission is simple. We want to win, and we want to bring a World Series trophy back to Cincinnati. We're out here because we appreciate all of our fans in the rest of the country. We want to encourage you to come down and see a game. We thank Sean and his partnership for what they're doing to sponsor and be a partner in this caravan effort. Come down to Cincinnati. We're excited to be here. We hope to see you at the ballpark. Thanks. Start with the young guy, work our way to the old guy. He's already sitting down for crying out loud. Just added to the 40-man roster a couple of months ago. That means the Reds have high hopes for this young outfielder. Was a 16th round draft choice in 2003 out of the University of Nevada, Reno. Had an outstanding year last year at Chattanooga and is ticketed at least to start this season at Louisville, but there's a chance that we may see him before this season is over with a major league club. A warm Muncie welcome, if you would, to Mr. Chris Dickerson.
How are you guys doing tonight? Just, we're glad to be here, so enjoy yourselves, and hopefully we'll see you up here at the first of the game.
Smaller players. Next guy, you love watching him come sprinting in when he gets a call from the schedule.
Seriously.
When he comes running up here, I get the hell out of the way. Only 26 years old, it seems like he's been around forever because he's pitched in so many games. 81 of them for the Reds last year. That's the most by any Reds pitcher since 1997. An ERA of 3.5 last year, had 8 saves. The big fella, Todd Coffey. This guy's something else to watch when he takes the ball for the Reds. Won 123 games in his career. That's the 12th most all-time in scoring Reds history. 16th of September, 88. Half under, you got to tell me you were there that night. When he pitched the perfect game, the only perfect game in Cincinnati Reds history, did it against the Dodgers. And then this last summer was inducted along with Tom Seaver and Lee May into the Reds Hall of Fame, Mr. Todd Brown.
Hey, it's great to be here. This is the biggest crowd we've seen on the caravan. It's awesome. We knew we were in trouble when we pulled up, but you guys are packed out the door. We're glad to be here. It's great to get amongst West Country and see a lot of you folks. And hope you have a good time tonight. If you got questions, stuff like I said, we're here for you. And hope you have a good time tonight. So, thanks for having us.
We have to go over the glass.
Last, and certainly not least, it's amazing that this year, this summer, when he puts on his baseball uniform here in the spring, that'll make it 34 straight years. That going to work every day, Jerry Nery gets to put on a baseball uniform to make a living. That's pretty doggone good. Of course, he's managed the Texas Rangers for a couple of years, been with the Reds now for 4 years. This will be his third year as a manager. Had the ball club down in the second to last game of the season before finally being eliminated from reaching the playoffs last year. And big things expected this year. The manager of the Cincinnati Reds, Jerry Nery.
It's a big ovation for Nery, isn't it?
They weren't paying attention.
We did get eliminated by the Cardinals right at the end, and we outplayed the Cardinals all year. I think we were nine and six against St. Louis.
Did the Cardinals do okay this season?
I got a lot of confidence that the Cardinals are going to win the World Series. But I loved our club, the mix that we have. We've got a lot of young guys. We've got a lot of veteran players. We've made some improvements last year with our pitching staff, with Bronson Arroyo and Aaron Lane. Both of them did a great job. 470 combined innings, including the starters, is outstanding. We get the high lunch for improving his performance this year. Like Aaron Milton, they dined up this time. We used to have a solid rotation. We've got a veteran bullpen with a couple of young guys, Todd Coffey and Bill Brady, the younger guys. bet you guys David Weathers, Mike Stanley out of Cormier, so he was a nice fit there. We just got a lot of hope for that pitching staff, especially with their defense, with Alex Gonzalez coming in to play shortstop, a gold glove shortstop. Brandon Phillips at second, young guys, really nice group, the first time they ever had a chance to play. So we got great defense out here in the middle of the infield. We feel like it's going to really help our pitching. Last year we gave up way too many other runs. But I really like what I saw from our guys last year. I think that club last year at the end when Eddie Gardado went out, it took a little bit out of our club. But we did
it for I think it was with the trade happened.
He should be back in the middle of the season. If Griffin Frill wasn't in early September, he ran out of runs.
Griffin Frill's hurt?
That's right. And Griff, hopefully, will be closing in on September.
Oh, you said he was hurt in September. I got confused because Rick is hurt now.
Yeah. That's a constant
And that's what our Reds Caravan experience sounded
yeah,
like.
That's pretty much the highlights
so you can
of it.
See why
in fact,
I'm not particularly thrilled with it.
In fact, I think you might have heard more than we did because, you know, like, you can only concentrate on trying to hear that stuff for so long before you get distracted by other people in the crowd. And there were some characters in the crowd, let me tell you what. There was some BO going on.
Oh, man, there was one point in the line or in the crush or whatever. I don't know if you could call it a line. It was so many people together, but whew!
Yeah. We were making some smart aleck comments, and we were getting a
but
few
we couldn't hear
laugh,
each other.
But,
I'm
yeah,
like,
we could.
Okay. I catch the briefest snippet from Naren, and I say something, and you're like, what?
I couldn't hear what he was saying. Yeah, that always makes for a very amusing banter right there. What?
I think my favorite was the host who was nattering on was nattering a question to Chris Dickerson, asking him about his chances making the outfield in the big league club. And he... like rattled off the Reds outfielders, Dunn, Friel, Griffey. With those guys, what do you think your chances are? And I'm like, no, you can't include Griffey. And your response is what?
I know, it's an awesome joke, and I can't believe. But speaking of Chris Dickerson, the people that we had on the northern leg of the tour included Tom Brenneman, whom they seemed to think was going to be this huge draw, and there did seem to be a lot of people who were quite excited.
It sounded
to see
like there was
there.
One group who came from Arizona.
Yeah, but
I don't know if they actually came from Arizona specifically for this.
But they just happened to be in town from
Arizona.
That's
probably what it was.
I don't know,
but
nevertheless.
It was,
yeah.
Okay.
But I don't think that that Tom by himself made up for the lack of other stars we didn't have, because you think the southern leg had Marty, and he's, you know, a bigger star than Tom.
Of course.
We had Jerry Naren, who he was all right. I don't have any problem with that. On the southern leg, he would have been his corresponding person would have been Wayne Krivsky.
Okay.
And I wouldn't have minded having a few questions to ask to Krivsky, but not that I had an opportunity to ask questions anyway.
No.
Because I couldn't even hear when they were asking for people to ask questions. Anyway, we had Todd Coffey. Love Todd. Great guy. Loves Jell-O. Gotta love a Star Trek fan.
Sure.
Yeah, they had Phillips on the other end of the tour. Coffee I love, but he doesn't even play every day. You know?
Hey,
I mean,
he played half the days last year.
You know, I'm not saying that. I'm saying he got his playing time. But what I am thinking is that as a baseball fan, to know the guys in the bullpen, you have to follow a team pretty close.
He was just a middle reliever. I mean, he was closer for a short time, but everybody was closer for a short time last year.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, to know, like, this is the major leaguer we got was a... middle reliever, and like I said, there's nothing against him. I love him, but I think that this was poor planning on the part of the Reds, because you're talking about, I mean, this is not an equal balance.
Yeah.
Starting infielder, middle reliever. This is the kind of trade Krivsky would make.
I think he has made that.
You think? And then our minor leaguer, their minor leaguer, Homer Bailey.
Ah,
our minor leaguer. Chris Dickerson. And tell me, had you heard of Chris Dickerson before the
maybe
the Reds caravan was coming to town? Maybe. I hadn't. Now, you know, I got a few words in with him. I thought he was great. Thought he was cute as a button. Don't get me wrong. Not anything against Chris Dickerson, but for crying out loud, Homer Bailey's like the single most well-known minor leaguer in the entire Reds system. They've been talking about him for years.
One of the, you know, second or third other prospects for the Reds, like Jay Bruce
Joey
Votto.
Or, you know, Hulbert. Is Hulbert still with the organization?
He's actually a manager in the minors now.
You see, I'd bring Hulbert.
He's a personable guy.
Oh, sure. Hell of a guy. And just think of what a great story he had last year. Or, you know, since we were already imbalanced with our major league representation, maybe bring up, you know, another reliever. Merker. Well, I would love to have Merker on. I'd like to talk with Merker. I've never gotten
the
opportunity.
Let's make that happen.
Okay. Well, we see. I mean, think he'll still be hanging around. Even if he's not pitching next year, he'll be like kicking around, right?
We'll
probably see him in Sarasota. He'll probably be just chilling. He'll be hanging out at La Margarita. Wait, what was that place called?
Wasn't that
La Margarita's a place in Castleton?
It's the Daiquiri Deck.
Yeah, the Daiquiri Deck. We could hang out at the Daiquiri Deck. See if Kent Merker comes by, I'll buy him one of those blue frothy things that you drank and didn't like.
Yeah.
Let's see what else. Yeah, so Tom Browning was there, which was balanced off by Chris Sabo on the other end of the tour, which I think is a fairly even balance. I was happier to see Tom Browning since I've talked to him on the phone before and I got a chance to shake his hand.
You know, if it'd been Chris Sabo, he could have asked him about his product that he's endorsed.
Well, there is always that. You're right. There's pros and cons to both sides. There's the book.
The book and the perfect game, the guy who pitched a perfect game, and then on one hand, and then there's
the Nutty Buddy.
The Nutty Buddy.
The Nutty Buddy on the other end. Yeah. Decisions. I'm going to say that that's a pretty fair balance. And then we get to Phil Castellini. And Phil Castellini, also a fine choice. I'm not sure. Who was he? Who was his correspondent?
I'm not sure.
Corresponding guy on the other end. I'm not sure either. What I wanted to ask Phil Castellini was, hey man, how come you never returned any of my phone calls? Because last year at the Reds caravan in Indianapolis, he said, I went up to the microphone and said, you know, I'm a blogger. What are your plans to include blogging in your marketing strategy? And he's like, yes, we know about bloggers and we have plans for them and we can talk about that offline. And so he gives me his card and I, you know, call him like 3 times and he never calls me back and I email him and he never emails me back. And so I get up there and I'm like, you know, this close to being like, hey man, what's the deal? You left me hanging. But instead he's like, hey, weren't you the one who nicknamed Kristen Norfia last year?
Maybe you're on the 5-year plan or something.
Maybe so.
Maybe that's what...
Yeah, you know, I kind of got the feeling that they were... they had an idea for the blogs, but they were going to go with the ML blogs.
Yeah, I know, because they set up the broadcaster, Steve Stewart, with one.
That's right.
And they seem to be pushing that pretty heavily, but really...
Well, you know, there's...
It's such a crappy software.
It is bad software as far as the, you know, interface goes, and it's kind of a crapshoot as far as... I mean, you know... You think...
Who's going to be better at it? The people who just pay $5 to let someone else do all the work for them? Or those who go to the trouble of getting their own domain name, setting up their own stuff, doing their own graphics and all that?
Yeah, seriously. Not to take anything away from the people who are doing the ML blogs, I think that, you know, that's certainly it's certainly a way to go.
Sure.
But I'm just saying if you're a club deciding on a direction to go to invest your energies... You know, maybe it's the person who brands themselves that you should be considering joining forces with. Perhaps the people who have gotten themselves a crack technical staff. And
hey, that's me.
Yes, and deedly doodly. So, yeah, I was kind of disappointed with the caravan this year, but, you know, we got some. But it gave us something to talk about. And it's really nice to have the, you know, ever since then we've been complaining about it to each other. It's been just like one constant complaint.
Save it at
the Red Hot Mama House. And it's just been like, gosh, if only we had an outlet for all of this complaining we have to do. Oh, I know. Oh, there's another thing that I didn't like about the Reds caravan. It's horribly lit. Horribly lit. You couldn't see anything and you couldn't take any pictures.
Oh, that's right. I did get some pictures, but it was a real struggle.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have trouble with our camera anyway, but...
Because I'm not good at taking pictures
But they ought to have some... Probably the fact that they put them up there in front of the televisions where they keep it dimmer.
Maybe that was the problem. I hadn't thought about that.
because they're going to keep the ambient lights around the television down so that the TVs are brighter. So they essentially have these guys backlit by televisions.
And in shadows.
And they did have the televisions on. What I liked was, you know, they have that loop where they have all the Merker interviewing his teammates,
right,
kind of thing. And they kind of, like, got it on a loop. And then, like, about, like, three-quarters of the way through the caravan stop, I guess it got to the end. So they rewound it. But they didn't, like, turn it off or anything. So you just watch it in fast, like, in going backwards. That was very professional looking. That was hot.
It's just some Damon's guy doing that, though.
Exactly. I know. You know, they really needed Dave Storm on the caravan to take care of the electronics there. That would have been perfect, because you know.
And then it would have gotten someone to talk to.
That's true too. Maybe someone to help us get to the front of the line. But actually, I don't think Dave would do that.
No, he wouldn't do that.
I don't think so.
I wouldn't ask.
But they had like a big old rack of electronics, you know, like all this like control equipment. You think, man, they really have the power to do anything they want here. They haven't even turned on the audio in the back. But you know what they got there? They got the bartender.
Well,
they got
the people surfing the
spring rolls.
The audio was actually the speakers. That was all the stuff that the radio station brought.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't
so
anything.
I don't know how they could have actually hooked it up to the speakers, short of turning on the radio station.
I bet you could have figured it out.
Probably.
I bet Dave Storm could have figured it out.
Oh, yeah.
So all I'm saying is, you know, a little bit more planning next time. Perhaps a convention center. Perhaps a place.
It's not very big, but it's big enough for that.
Perhaps a room that seats 300. That would have done it. Actually, I bet if they come back next year, and I'm sure they'll come back next year, after Steve Lindell asked them for 15 years to come, and they finally show up, and they can't, they're breaking all the fire codes at the freaking Damon's. I'm sure they'll come back next year. You know, maybe they plan ahead a little bit, get a place that'll actually accommodate some people.
That'd be nice.
Maybe set up some ropes for where the lines are supposed to go, rather than just having people wandering.
Crowd control.
And I tell you what, sell beer. Sell beer while you're in line, because, you know, I had a beer while I was at the table, but then once I was up, there was, I mean, I couldn't move in the crowd.
Couldn't move.
So there was no way for me to get over to the bar. And the bar was completely packed anyway. There wouldn't have been any way for me to get a drink. But anyway, so.
So you feeling good?
I'm feeling
better. You
I'm
got
feeling
it out.
Vented. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
And that's about all that's going on as far as the Reds go.
Hopefully, spring training when we go down there isn't
Woo-hoo!
Anywhere near as frustrating as that was.
I'm sure that...
I think it'll be fun.
If nothing else, there will be more beer involved, so you won't mind as much.
Right.
So what kind of news do you got going on around baseball, other than what we've already talked about?
I'm afraid it's all New England-centric this time, but three stories.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well. If you're a Red Sox fan in the greater New England area and completely incapable of finding yourself a mate... There's a new reality dating show just for you.
Yes! I can't imagine there are any people like that in the New England area.
Who are fans of the Red Sox.
And incapable of finding themselves a date.
Yeah. Well, I hope so, because otherwise the Red Sox Sports Channel will have problems filling its 10 episodes of Sox Appeal for next season.
Hey, do you remember the show Average Joe? Was that the show, what that show was called, where they had the hot chickie and then like a bunch of like regular guys? And,
and
then they bring in like the hot guys.
Right.
And the second season of it, like they had the Boston guy on there who almost won.
Oh yeah.
And then she tells the blonde, the hunky guy that she dated Fabio, and he's like all pissed off.
That's right.
It was so funny because they're like, why would you be so pissed off about that? And he's like, everyone in America can understand why I'd be pissed off about that. She dated Fabio. I'm like,
I don't get it.
Yeah, dummy.
Well, maybe that Boston guy can sign up for this.
That's what I was thinking. He ought to be the celebrity.
Here's the gimmick of the show.
Okay.
One dater is followed through a game, at a game. It's filmed during a live game.
Uh-huh.
And he has one date
for two innings.
Uh-huh. Three dates for one game. Two innings each.
That's kind of a short game, isn't it? And then what?
Short date.
He picks one?
Yeah. And then he picks one during the seventh inning stretch and stays with them for the rest of the game.
Awesome.
Isn't that classy?
That's going to be nice. That's going to be nice. I think they'll put him up on the big board and everything. Remember that, who was it who talked about having sex on the Big Green Monster? Do you remember who that was?
I do not.
You know, it was Jose Canseco's wife.
Oh,
remember
maybe it
that?
Was.
Yeah, Jessica Canseco talked about getting it on at Fenway.
That's a classy place.
Oh yeah. Anyway, what else you got?
Did you hear about the Yankees and the issues surrounding Roger Clemens' exalted number 22?
No, I haven't heard.
Apparently Robinson Cano, the team's all-star second baseman, mm-hmm. had the number, but has switched to 24, mm-hmm. ostensibly to free it up for Clemens.
Ah. Yeah.
The initial news reports about it said that the team had asked him to, but then later the story changed, and Cano is saying, no, he volunteered to do it himself.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So my take on this is that's what it takes to get Clemens a number, the number 22. Surely the Reds have someone wearing the number 22 whom they can give up.
Who is wearing the number 22?
I looked it up.
Who is it?
Milton.
Oh, sweet.
Come on, Milton. Take one for the team.
Step up, Milton. Knock yourself down to number 4. Actually, number 4 would be Brandon Phillips. I'm talking about number 4 in the rotation, though.
Yeah. Okay, one
and
more.
Then, and then Sarlos, I don't even know what...
What would we do with Sarlos?
He's in competition for number 6, I guess.
Or bullpen.
Bullpen.
He has a ground ball pitcher.
Take that. Milton in the bullpen.
Maybe.
Yeah, who knows? What else? One more?
One more. It's a story about the Mets.
Okay.
I don't know how I missed this when it happened originally, but I guess last year a Mets fan created a fake press pass to get into the visiting clubhouse. The San Diego Padres were visiting for mm-hmm. a game, and he'd always wanted to talk to Mike Piazza.
Okay.
So he engineered this fake pass.
Crafty.
Yeah. Went into the clubhouse and took some pictures and asked him questions with Piazza. And he'd apparently... didn't play it cool, though, because he ended up getting ejected.
Oh, what the heck?
I don't know what he did.
Dude, you chill out, and you're in.
I know.
He starts getting your face seen around there, they start accepting that you're legitimate. You can just start going to all the games that way.
But then, he wasn't content in being a jackass once. Like, a week later, the Rockies were in town, and he used the same fake pass to enter the clubhouse for a game.
Did it work?
No, he was caught and arrested then.
Dummy.
And just this last week he was sentenced. He has to pay a $1,000 fine. Huh. And he's banned from Mets home games for the next 3 years.
Holy crap. I don't think that's going to stop him, though.
So you didn't
Why wouldn't he be allowed to be in the stands, though?
I don't know.
Just going to punish him, I guess.
So you're not getting any ideas from that, are you?
Well, yeah. But you know what? I kind of think that I might stand out more than him. Because apparently, like, people at Red's Caravan just recognize me.
Uh-oh.
Aren't you the guy? Aren't you the one who nicknamed Denorfia? Yes. Quite accidentally. So is that all we've got going on?
That is all.
Is that plenty?
That's a big podcast there.
Yeah, I think that...
Maybe this makes up for the shorter ones over the last month.
That's what she said.
Alrighty.
All right, well, before our next podcast, the Super Bowl will have happened.
Go Colts.
So,
I guess.
Yeah, go Colts. Woo! Go Colts. And until then, go Reds.
The Red Hot Broadcast is recorded weekly in front of a live studio audience. To send your comments to the show, email us at rhm@red-hot-mama.com and visit the website at red-hot-mama.com.